Joining us now, he's with Golf Channel live from the Masters, Mark Rolfing. Mark, what's going on this morning?
Well, good morning, Mark and Mike. How's everybody in Charlotte? It's good in Augusta so far today.
Oh, yeah, it's raining here. What's the weather like there? I mean, cold, rainy, or did you kind of miss most of it?
It's neither. It is, I'm going to say, 60 maybe, low 60s, and no rain yet. Now, you take a look at the weather radar, and this front that's heading our way doesn't look very friendly. But right now, it's going to be okay for a while. So if you can get out there and at least get maybe a couple hours of golf in, I think it's going to play fairly easy. There'll be some birdies to be made early.
Yeah, Mark, with this being the smallest field we've seen since 1998 and the cut going to five, I mean, how did the size of this field affect, you know, guys like Phil and Tiger, you know, guys who are sort of struggling at the end to make it in? I mean, how big an effect can such a small field have on the quality of play and what we're going to see on the weekend?
I think it has a big effect, but one thing it does is I think it motivates guys because they know that they don't have 100 players that they have to pass. You might be 6, 7, 8 shots behind right now, which sounds like a lot. That is a big margin, there's no question. But there aren't that many players, literally, that you have to go by. And take a look at Reed and Leishman. They've separated themselves a little bit. If I were chasing right now, I'd be looking at 4 under and saying, effectively, that's the lead as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, Mark, when we start looking at the top of the leaderboard and Patrick Reed, I'm shocked, not from the perspective that Patrick Reed is at the top of the leaderboard through 2 rounds, but where did this left-to-right shot come from that he is consistently hitting? I mean, this is a guy that we traditionally see hit 99.9% of his shots are a draw. Obviously, this is something that he's been working on, and this is something that could take him potentially to the next level, isn't it?
I think so. I had said early in the week when we were talking about Masters favorites that I felt like the thing that was going to hold Patrick Reed back was his driving. I just wasn't sure he was a good enough driver and a controlled enough driver to be able to play 72 holes at Augusta National without making some big mistakes. And this little baby fade that you're talking about, it's kind of a sawed-off shot. It looks to me like there's almost no chance it's going to go left. It's a lot like the way David Duvall drove it when he was in his prime. I remember being able to stand in the left rough when David was on a tee and never worry about him ever hitting me. He would aim it at me and then hit a little peel that would end up right in the fairway. So this is a very, very valuable shot for Patrick Reed. And if he can stay with it and keep driving it that way, he definitely could win this Masters now. I wouldn't have thought so early in the week.
We're talking to Mark Rolfing from the Golf Channel's coverage down live at Augusta at the Masters. And I'm curious, we're talking about Patrick Reed and his shot shaping off the tee. If the weather goes the way it is supposed to and the way the forecast has predicted, are the guys who have a little bit more creativity, do they have an advantage? I mean, who's really suited to bad, cold, wet weather?
Well, I'll tell you the guy that I like is Rory McIlroy. Now, here's a stat for you. I think this one came from the Brandel Chamblee archive originally. But Rory McIlroy's won 4 major championships, and in every one of those majors there has been a rain delay or a weather delay. He has played his best major championship golf in soft, wet conditions. Think about the U.S. Open that he won at Congressional when he lapped the field down there. That was a very soft golf course. He carries the ball a long way, hits it real high, and I think when the greens aren't quite as fast, potentially, Rory is a better putter. So I'm looking at him sitting there at 4 under par thinking, I really like McIlroy's chances now.
Yeah, I mean, Augusta changes dramatically when it gets a little bit softer, doesn't it? I mean, you start really looking at that a lot of tee shots become all carry. You're not getting potentially 30 or 40-yard rollouts that you might see, like guys were getting on 15 yesterday hitting low bullets. So, you know, McIlroy's one of those guys. Does it also maybe favor the Dustin Johnson and the Justin Thomas at this point?
Yeah, you have to carry the ball a long way. So many of these fairways are crowned at a distance of, say, 280, 290 yards out there. So if you're hitting low bullets off the tee. They're going to hit into the face of those crowns in the fairway and not go anywhere. Whereas, you know, McIlroy's carry these days is 310 yards, basically. Same thing with Dustin Johnson. So that extra 20 yards of carry, you know, with the roll then you would get by going over a mound in the center of their fairway, that extra carry is going to give you probably a total of 40 yards more. So there'll be a huge advantage to the long hitter if the rain comes and it softens up Augusta National.
Well, and a guy like Tony Finau, what he's facing now, which I think is probably the biggest surprise and maybe the best story so far of the tournament, you know, he may have trouble with wet footing. I'm wondering, is there an advantage to the guys that are really have really strong grips when we're talking about, you know, mushy conditions in these fairways where the turf is not just going to give way for them? And are there guys that we don't know who have strong grips that are going to be able to plow the ball through?
I think strong grips, and the one thing that's even more important than that in my mind is you don't want to be a gouger. You want to be a sweeper of the golf ball. Take a look, for example, at Tom Watson, you know, who won 5 Open Championships and never took a divot over there. You know, he swept the ball always, and he was able to play even in windy and rainy conditions over there. He never really hit a knockdown shot in his life. He hit his normal trajectory, but he hit the ball so solid, and he swept it off the turf. He never had to worry about the soft ground conditions. Fred Couples kind of plays the same way. He's always been a good wind player and has had some success over in Europe playing that kind of game. So I like the sweepers, you know, the guys that aren't gouging these big divots when it gets soft like it's going to be today.
Again, Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel's live at the Masters, joining us. And, you know, Mark, coming into this week, Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods were really on everybody's radar, feeling that maybe they both had a chance, both really disappointing rounds yesterday. Do you see either one of them being able to kind of get out of this funk and make a move? I think for Phil it was a lot of wild driving. For Tiger, ironically enough, it was more his iron play and making no putts that affected him as opposed to his driving of the golf ball.
I was surprised at both of them yesterday, maybe a little more surprised actually at Tiger. Phil drove the ball terrible on Thursday, and you could kind of see that he was really struggling figuring out how he was going to keep the ball in play, and he still couldn't do it yesterday. Tiger was a little bit of a mystery to me, though, because I've been watching this comeback for the last 5 or 6 weeks, and, you know, there was no deficiency whatsoever in his iron game, and he had stretches where he putted fabulously. And Tiger has always been a tremendous putter. So those two things really surprised me. Both of them are out of it now. Neither one of those guys can win the Masters, but I think they can both make statements. I think psychologically it's going to be harder on Phil. He did say yesterday, you know, he's running out of time. How many more Masters is he going to really feel good coming into the way he did here? So I think when they both leave, the guy that's going to be more disappointed between those two, unless something really wild happens this weekend, but I think Phil will actually be more disappointed than Tiger.
Well, and Mark, we've seen in the past some of these better players, and even our defending champions have trunk slammer, you know, miss the cut. You get a guy like Sergio now. He has to hang around to give somebody else the green jacket. I mean, does his weekend just really suck, honestly?
Well, I don't know. I mean, life has changed for Sergio. He's got a whole new attitude, you know, with a young wife and now a real young baby. I'm not sure he actually even is staying around today. Who knows? I mean, with private jets and the way guys travel around these days, you never know.
Yeah, fair enough.
Whether they go and leave. But, there was so much hype about this Masters. There was so much anticipation like we had never seen. And somebody said on Tuesday on Live From, you know, we're talking about all these great players and more guys with a chance to win the Masters, but it feels like this is going to be a Danny Willett kind of year. I'm not saying Patrick Reed is Danny Willett, but, you know, here we go with all this talk of everybody now. You know, the two guys that are kind of almost separating themselves a little bit are Leishman and Reed.
Yeah, is the forgotten man coming into this and the guy that's in third place, Henrik Stenson? I mean, obviously, the weather and a longer golf course could affect him hitting 3-wood more often than driver off the tee box. But, you know, he's had some health issues. He's finally healing up and getting better, and we're seeing some better play out of him. Is he a guy that over the weekend, you know, he never really kind of appreciated Augusta because it's not his type of golf course. Is he somebody that can still contend?
He could, but you hit the nail right on the head. He's got to hit more drivers. I've always felt like Stenson gave Augusta National way too much respect. And, yes, he hits the 3-wood a mile. He's really good with it. But still, there are holes here where you have to push it out with a driver. And he did say early in the week he's going to play a little more aggressively. I think if he does, he will have a chance. But if all he's doing is sort of navigating around with the 3-wood, I don't think he will win. But beyond Stenson, though, the guy that just amazes me that nobody talks about early in any week is the player who's played absolutely the best golf in the world in the last year, and that's Justin Thomas. You know, he's sitting there at 3-under par. Nobody has said a word about him all week long. And it happens time and time and time again. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. I'd almost think that we would see Justin Thomas with a lower score by the end of today than Henrik Stenson.
Ooh. Well, we're talking to Mark Rolfing live from the Masters, down covering it for the Golf Channel. And I'm curious, you know, in some ways I think I hadn't really considered it that we who cover the sport may have set ourselves up for disappointment by touting how many great stories there are coming into a tournament like this. Come Sunday, there's really only one story. And I'm curious, as it goes down the line here, and you're a storyteller, who do you see being, you know, who's going to move the needle in terms of storytelling? I mean, the Tony Finau thing is ready-made, and Justin Thomas is but, you know, like you say, with Patrick Reed and Leishman in the lead, what if you had your dream scenario coming down, who are in your last two or three groups?
Well, without Tiger and Phil, I would have to say McIlroy. I think that would be a big story if he could complete the career Grand Slam. He's a tremendously popular player. But I think the one that could well captivate everybody as much as any other story would be Jordan Spieth again. You know, he certainly doesn't have an effect like Tiger Woods did, but there is a fascination with Spieth and recognition that the sort of fringe golf fans and other sports fans really like. You know, Spieth is a guy that moves the needle these days. And so if he could come back from that horrendous start yesterday and somehow get back into this thing, which he really is in the middle of it right now, I think Spieth winning another green jacket would be a big story, too.
Well, you know, is there any way that, you know, we remember 2 years ago, Captain America, Patrick Reed, and Rory McIlroy having an epic Ryder Cup singles match? I mean, is there a possibility that we could have these two and the same thing could happen on the back nine at Augusta, where these guys are just dropping eagles and birdies all over the place on each other?
I think it would be fabulous. And, yes, the answer is that could happen. If you look at the pairings today, or the groupings as they call them, there are some amazing groupings. You've got Dustin Johnson playing with Jordan Spieth. You got McIlroy and Stenson. You got Finau and Thomas. You got Justin Rose and Bubba Watson. So you've got some blockbuster two balls together. And I think the key tomorrow would be to get some of those kind of pairings like we have tomorrow. And to me, you know, if you could somehow end up with Reed and McIlroy playing together tomorrow, there would be some attitude there. It certainly wouldn't be like the Ryder Cup, because the atmosphere at Augusta National isn't like the Ryder Cup anyway. But I think it would be lively, that's for sure. And I think that would be almost the best thing that could happen tomorrow, would be to have a couple of really good pairings like that.
Well, Mark, before we let you go, with the weather being what we think it's going to be, what's the score? What wins this thing?
Well, I'm looking at Patrick Reed at 9-under par right now. I think it's likely that's going to be the winning score. You know, maybe 10, maybe 11-under. I really don't think they're going to set up the course very difficult, because the big question mark is the wind, not so much the rain, but there is talk about maybe 20 or 25 mile an hour gusts of wind potentially later this afternoon. if that's the case, you won't see the hole locations like we saw the first 2 days. There were some really, really difficult hole locations, and I don't think they would do that if there was a chance it was going to get real windy. So I see somebody getting maybe to 10, 11 under par. That should probably be the target for everybody.
And do you? I don't see it. I don't see anybody maybe doing a 65-65 weekend to get themselves back into it that's deep down. Do you?
No, I really don't. You know, it's amazing how Augusta National has a way of kind of, keeping things under control. They can set it up just exactly the way they want to with the technology they have, with the course and everything else. And if the scoring were to go real low today, let's say, you would see it tougher tomorrow, no question.
All right. Well, Mark, it was great talking with you. Have a great weekend down there at Augusta. We'll be watching.
All right. Thanks, guys.